Especially as we see ourselves growing up as a church, amen, and going from glory to glory. And I'm telling you, that's just what I see, amen. I see us going from glory to glory. And I'm telling you, listen, we about to move into a good place, amen, a wide place, amen, a blessed place. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, man, listen, when a church as a whole begins to compete with God, trying to see if they can outgive God. When a church begins to compete with the benevolence of God, amen, we are going to see something happen that has not happened in Lafayette ever before. I'm telling you. Listen, we're going to get cranked up and get started. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to hone in on verse 15 through 22. Amen. And that's what we'll be kind of looking at today. Remember that Thursday night is Thursday night prayer. And so you can come in. Amen. We're going to walk in the building again. Amen. We're going to look around. We're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on walls. Amen. Hallelujah. If you got a little anointing oil at the house, bring it. Hallelujah. We're going to anoint. We're going to do what we got to do. Amen. Because the Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yokes. Amen. How many people want yokes to be destroyed in our PCA building? Amen. Generational bondage and whatnot. And so let's go through. Amen. We've written down scriptures and prayers. We've walked around it seven times. Amen. I think now it's time for the anointing. I think it's anointing all time. Amen. And we're going to anoint that thing. Hallelujah. And see what happens. Amen. And so I'm going to bring my oil. You bring your oil. Amen. And if you can't find no prayer oil, you'll bring any other kind of oil you got. We're going to pray on it. Amen. 10W30, 10W40, whatever oil, Crisco, whatever you want to bring. All right, we're going to pray on it. You just got to bring something to anoint. And I just saw Mr. Dwight and Vinny with a can of WD-40 up in there saying, I got that new engineer anointing. I'm going to spray it instead of, but bring your oil. Amen, because it's not what kind of oil you bring. Ooh, it's the name you call on to bless the oil. Hey! All right, so that's Thursday. Friday, saints, the HFL is going to be right back at it. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. And we're going to be out there Friday night, 7. And at 8:30, 7 o'clock is going to be a tremendous game. I think it's GP, going to be against Hebrew Saints. And it's gonna be real, amen. And also at 8:30, my team gonna be playing, hallelujah. I'm hoping to sit the bench, but if I don't, hallelujah, y'all just help me out, cheer me on, and say, take your time, Pastor, take your time. But we'll be out there. We're playing 300, amen. So it's gonna be 300 versus David's Mighty Men. That's our team, amen. And so it's going to be awesome, saints. Amen. And remember, we're selling concessions, but it's strictly, amen, a license agreement from the Hebrew Football League. Amen. So don't you come out there selling no popcorn candy or nothing like that. If you ain't got no permission from the HFL, we got all rights to this thing, man. All right? We're going to find your ticket, your mate, and call the police on you. I'm joking. But you know what I'm saying? The concessions is for the league. So that when it's all done, we can buy the brothers that win the bowl game, amen, something nice, amen. Hallelujah. We even praying on doing an all-star game, amen. We're gonna do it big, amen. And so, you know, come and support, amen. I heard concessions is good. It's kosher, all beef hot dog. Ain't nothing gonna be no trash out there. Except the little candy packs, amen. But that you got free will, you do what you want with that, amen. Hallelujah. But that's this Friday, 7 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Amen. They drafted my big brother, but I overrided their draft. He can't play for nobody but our team. He can't. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm just joking, y'all. Amen. So come on, let's look at it. 2 Samuel 17, verse 15. Love, you got anything else? All right. The Bible says, then said Hushai unto Zadok. What you have for? Okay, all right. Titus has a table out for the Christmas banquet, and it's not just for the Titus ministry. Anybody that want to go to the Christmas banquet, The date slips my mind at this point. December the 8th, amen. And so that's going to be a tremendous time, amen. I'm telling you, man, if you're bored in Philadelphia, then you're not plugged in. We wear you out. Wear you out, all right? Okay, all right, all right. All right, hallelujah. Now, you know that's my little wife stopped me from reading my scriptures, baby. I'm telling you, boy. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel. And thus have I counseled. Now, therefore, send quickly and tell David. Somebody say, tell David. saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over. Somebody say, pass over. Lest the king be swallowed up. Somebody say, swallowed up. And all the people that were with him. Now, Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by in Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them. Now, we use that word kind of bad now, but that's not. I'm going to show you in a second the Hebrew. All right, I just caught myself when I read it. I was like, but it's good. It's not a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? They say a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad, which is synonymous to a wench in this context, saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house. Somebody say a man's house. In Baharim, which had a well in the court, in his court, whither they went down, and the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon. And the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servant came to the woman to the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water. For thus had Ahithophel counseled against you. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that you'd bless your word, that I would decrease and you would increase, that you'd fill me up, that you would anoint me, that you'd give me great, Lord God, wisdom from the Most High, from the heavens, God, that it wouldn't be me at all. That you would drop such a gadul of anointing that chains would be broken in him. People would be saved, set free, and sanctified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother James, can you find Brother Anthony and see if we got a little water somewhere? Hallelujah. A little water from Bethlehem. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we've been studying in 2 Samuel, saints, and David's son has stolen the kingdom. And Ahithophel tells Absalom in verse 1 of chapter 17, let me go get David personally, and I'm going to bring 12,000 men and pursue him and get David while he's weak and while he's tired. He said that he would just kill David and David alone and bring all the other people back, and there'd be peace in the kingdom. And it was all based upon revenge and him wanting to get back at David for messing up his granddaughter's life, Bathsheba. Then Absalom, by some miracle, called Ahithophel, Hushai in. And he said, Hushai, advise. And remember, Hushai was a double agent, y'all. He was actually working for David. And Hushai said, let's gather all Israel together. Don't go out that quick with the 12,000. Let's gather all Israel together. Amen. And Hushai was doing that. Oh, I take both of them. Hallelujah. You can't go wrong with that. Praise him. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Give a prophet a cup of water, you get a prophet's reward. So Hushai, trying to buy time for David, said, nah, don't just go with 12,000. Round up the whole nation, you know, which was going to take some time. And he says, Absalom, don't you dare let Ahithophel go out there and lead the army. You lead the army personally. Amen. Tempting Absalom's pride. Amen. With his good hair and all. You know what I'm saying? And so so they buy it. And all of a sudden, Absalom and all of his men, they with Hushai's counsel. They love it. They agree. They say the counsel of Hushai is better than that of Ahithophel. And so tonight, we just want to pick up right after the council meeting. Amen. We want to pick up in verse 15. And the title of the message tonight is going to be Mere Christianity. Mere Christianity. Right? And I just saw something in this text. God woke me up about 3, amen, and he just showed me something in the text that he wanted me to talk about, and so that's what I'm going to do. And in 15 through about verse 22, Hushai is going to try to send a secret message, secret intelligence to David, to let David know, listen, get yourself out of harm's way. Cross the River Jordan quickly. That's what he's going to tell him, Brother Harvey. Cross quickly. Don't you lallygag around, because I gave him a plan that's going to stall him, but Absalom can change his mind, Antonio, at any time. And so listen, get yourself to, I think he's going to Menahem. Get yourself to Menahem quickly, all right? And so we're going to watch as Hushai sends the message to Zadok and Abiathar, and then Zadok and Abiathar is going to send it through Ahimaaz and Jonathan, and then it's going to be all kind of messages passing, trying to get this thing to David. There's going to be a lot of action and stuff. But as I looked at this, I saw the Christian life. I saw us from salvation and working for God. And so I'm going to do like a symbolic parallel with this text. Just pull out some stuff. Amen. And I'm hoping to God that it bless you. But it's what he gave me this morning. It's going to be 5 points and I'm going to get through them quick. Most High God say the same. We're going to talk about Zadok and Abiathar. Now therefore, Jonathan and Ahimaaz, a lad saw them and out of the well. Let's look at the first point. Zadok and Abiathar. The Bible says, then said Hushai unto Zadok and unto Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. All right, he's telling them what's up. All right, so Hushai gives the message to Zadok and Abiathar. All right, well, who's Zadok and Abiathar? Well, Zadok and Abiathar are priests of the Most High God. All right. For those that know their Bibles, you will remember that Saul killed a whole city of priests in a city called Nob. He killed Ahimelech and a whole city of priests. Well, these are the relatives of Ahimelech, particularly Abiathar. All right. And so they're priests. Now, Zadok's name means righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. And Abiathar's name means abundance. Somebody say abundance. That's what their name means. And when I looked at that in the Hebrew, I just couldn't pass it up. I say, God, right here in this verse is what you do to us when we get saved. It's all there. When we get saved, we get Zadok, we get Abiathar, and you make us priests. Come on, give God some glory, amen? All right? When you come to Christ, amen, he gives us righteousness. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says he had made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, but God made him to be sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And right then and there, amen, for our older saints, you already know this, but there's some who don't know this. In my conversation today, in Office Depot testifies today. I'm talking to a brother, and he was like, man, I know I'm going to heaven because I've been trying to do this, and I'm not wilding out like other people, you know? But what the problem was is that he had it all wrong. He was saying, I know I'm going to heaven because of my righteousness and because of what I'm not doing. and comparing myself to other people that's worse than me. But the Bible says that even though you might be better than some people, but to God, your righteousness is like filthy rags. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. So when we get saved, God gives us his Zadok, not our Zadok. Self-righteousness don't save us, y'all. You can't get to heaven. You will never get to heaven based upon your individual actions. You will only get to heaven by the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed upon us when we get saved by believing in the gospel. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. That's it. That's it. And I'm trying to put it as clear as I can because I know that there are some in here. Amen. Right here tonight. All right. You are dependent upon your own actions, your own lifestyle to make yourself look good in front of God. I got news for you tonight. You are a sinner. And one sin will disqualify you in the eyes of a holy, spotless, sinless God who is of purer eyes than to even behold iniquity. Listen to me. Listen, I don't know why God has me preaching this right now. All right? But somebody can get saved in here right now with a proper understanding. All right? That you cannot get up there with your own righteousness. You got to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. And we get that, God, when we admit and when we believe and when we confess. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 10:4, it tells us how to do it. It says, for Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness. He gives righteousness to who? To everyone that what? Believe it. That's all God wants from us. Don't you dare come here talking about what you did. Only thing you did was believe. Only thing you did was believe. And he gave you the faith to believe as well. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Zadok. But I also saw the name Abiathar. Huh? And Abiathar means abundance. Somebody say abundance. Pastor, what does abundance mean, overflow? It means lanyah. Because after he saves us, Mark, and after he gives us his righteousness, then he starts to overflow in our life. He gives us abundance. Amen? He's the God of abundance. That's what he is. It's like if you ever ask God for anything, he could never just give you what you ask for. It's not in his character. It's not in his character. Amen. Listen to me. When he did the miracle with the loaves and the fish, there was leftover, saints. I'm giving you an analogy because he could never just meet the need exactly. He's the God of abundance, saints. Amen. He's the God of abundance, huh? When he made the garden for Adam and Eve, they just didn't have what they needed. They had more than what they needed. And I'm trying to tell you here that after God saves you, put his righteousness upon you, then he wants to overflow your life with his goodness. The scriptures verify this in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life, that's Zoe, and that you may have it, what? More abundantly. He's the God of abundance. And it seemed a little redundant, Miss Denise, for him to say more abundantly. But that's just how abundant he is. You understand what I'm saying? Because he could have just said that you might have it abundantly, huh? Nah, but he says it's going to overflow and then overflow again after I overflow. Come on, give God some glory, amen? And listen, that's been my experience in Christ. God has wowed me since the day I believed. He's wowed me in every particular way. It don't mean that everything was perfect. It don't mean that me and my wife ain't ever fuss or things didn't work out at some periods. But all in all, I can say this, that some bad things did happen, but the bad things worked together for the good. Amen. And when it was all put on the table, hey God, it was an overflow experience. Even the things that made me cry, John, even the things that made me cry in sorrow, after he was finished with it, it made me cry in joy. Hey, God, anybody hear me? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning light. I'm giving to you what we call mere Christianity. And I get this, amen, hallelujah, from a brother in London who wrote a book during World War II. Amen. Grace, what's his name, Grace? You was doing a report on him. His name evades me right now. I'm sorry? C.S. Lewis. Thank y'all. Appreciate it. I know where to go where the smart people at. Amen. Hallelujah. All y'all smart, but I'm just saying, hey, God. And C.S. Lewis wrote this book, Mere Christianity, because he just wanted to boil it down to its simplicity. Huh? And he wanted the Londoners and the people in England, as they was going through World War II and they were getting bombed, he went on the radio and he just wanted to explain the simplicity of Christianity. Because it's a simple thing. We believe, we get his righteousness, then we get abundance. But we also get something else. Huh? We get priesthood. Somebody say priesthood. Yes, 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 yes. You see, Zadok and Abiathar were priests of the Most High God. And I want to tell you, after he saves us and we come into the fold of Christianity, we become priests. You see, when I was growing up, if somebody had a priest in their family, let me tell you, that was a big deal, amen? We thought that the whole family qualified to go to heaven because one person was a priest. Hallelujah. Cousin twice removed. But you know what I'm saying? On your daddy's side, through the dog and the cat over here. You know what I'm saying? We all going to heaven because we got a cousin that's a priest. The funny thing about that is, when you're a believer, it's not just your cousin that's a priest. We all priests of the Most High God. Now, some of our older saints know that, but new believer, listen to me. Let me explain this mere Christianity. You are a priest, saint. You've not only been made righteous, you've not only been given a promise of abundance life from a God who's given his son in Romans 8, say, if I've given you my son, there's nothing I'm going to withhold from you. You can ask me anything in my name, and I'm going to grant it. Hey, ask and you shall receive. Seeking you'll find. Knocking it shall be opened. That's the type of God we have. But on top of that, he makes you a priest. Pastor, what's a priest? Huh? What's a priest? Well, a prophet, Clyde, is somebody who speaks to people on behalf of God. That's the diagram from heaven through the prophet to the people. A priest is just the opposite. A priest speaks to God on behalf of the people. You understand what I'm saying? You know when God say, I search for a man to stand in the gap? To stand in between me and the people. Because I got a problem. I got a controversy with the people, but I need a representative. I need somebody to go in between me and them and tell them what I'm saying. But not only tell them what I'm saying, but tell me what they're saying and what they're going through and how they're living. And I need somebody to fall on their knees and pray for some people that's around here in the hood. And just stop talking about them, but pray for them. All right? He said, I made you a priest. All right, look at your neighbor on the left side. Look at him and say, you a priest. Look on the right side and tell him, you are a priest. All right? And you're not a priest after the order of the Levitical covenant. You're not a priest after, amen, some other religion. You're a priest after the order of Melchizedek, written in the book of Hebrews, amen, who our high priest is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You're a priest. And the Bible tells us in Revelations 1:5, when John is writing the book of Revelation, he says, listen, this book of Revelations is from John the apostle. And verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. He rose from the grave first. And the prince of the kings of the earth. That means he is the king of the kings of the earth. Amen. He is the ruling magistrate over every civil authority on the planet which has ever been or will ever be. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus says. Unto him that what? That loved us. And we're going to get to that in a second, because he loved us while we were yet in our sins. And he not only loved us, but what he did? He washed us, amen, from our sins. In what? In his own blood. Anybody hear what I'm saying? But he didn't stop there, Braylon. Verse 6 says, and he had made us two things, kings and priests. Ooh, y'all not ready for this? Y'all not ready for this? He made you a king because you can't help but be royalty if you're the son of a king. Anybody hear me up in here? If your daddy is the king of kings, that makes you royalty. Now, whether you want to walk around like it or not, that's up to you. All right? All right? Amen. You can stay humble and still be royalty. But you are royalty, and don't you ever forget that. But you're not only royalty because you're the son of the Most High God, the king of all the earth. Hallelujah. But you're also his priest. Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the Bible corroborates this all throughout the scriptures. Miss Kim, Miss Denise, Sabrina, Braylon, hallelujah, Mark and Brandon and Brittany and John. Yes, he corroborates this all throughout. He really does. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal, that's the king, that's the king. You are a royal, but you're also not only royalty, you're a royal priesthood. Woo! God. Huh? A holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so as we look at Zadok and Abiathar, we see mere Christianity coming out of the text. We see, hey God, he saves us through faith, imputes upon us his righteousness, blesses us with a promise of abundance. Then he turns around and makes us royalty, kings and priests in his family. Amen. That's why the Bible says you are joint heirs with Christ. Hey God, I don't care what neighborhood you came from. I don't care if you was adopted. I don't care if you was orphaned. I don't care if you got a single mama that raised you and you don't know your daddy on earth. You got a daddy in heaven that's a ruler. Your father's rich with houses and with lands. And you need to begin to believe that and operate in that. Amen. You're special, saints. You're special because you got a royal bloodline. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Second point. Now therefore, the Bible says in verse 16, now therefore send quickly, tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. So Hushai tells them, look, hallelujah, Abiathar, Zadok, y'all go quickly, tell David, deliver this intelligence to David to not stay in the open plain. As quick as you can, tell David to pass over. Somebody say Passover. Which means to cross over the Jordan. Lest he be swallowed up, which means to be engulfed, eaten up. Amen. Ingested. Amen. And so it's a warning. All right? This is a word for us, saints, in regards to mere Christianity yet again. You see, after we get saved, we got to go out and share the good news. And we got to invite others. And we got to tell others there's danger coming. We got to tell them there's danger coming. So listen, he not only imputes his righteousness upon you, give you abundance and make you a king and a priest. He makes you what's called an ambassador. All right? Somebody say an ambassador. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, which is right before, amen, he was made sin who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:20, I didn't give you that, Brent, but it tells us clearly, amen, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we get saved, and we carry what's called a ministry of reconciliation. Our job after salvation is to go out and win other people to Christ. Just like we were won to Christ, we got to go and warn them, amen, those, hallelujah, who are in trouble. Now look with me at verse, hallelujah, 16. Now therefore send quickly, because it's haste. Because we don't know the hour nor the day of the Son of Man's return. A lot of us, amen, we in a season of lollygagging and not really telling people about Christ. We got to get back to work, saints. We got to get back to work. He said, go quickly. And do what? He says, tell David. Now, I looked at the meaning of David. Huh, Kimmy? And David means beloved. It means beloved. It means beloved. And what that means is beloved of the Lord. And the beautiful thing is that God loves us before we love him. Huh? It's just like when you're having a baby. Amen. You love that baby before that baby ever knew you or loved you. You know? And that's the way God does us. He tells us in the book of Jeremiah, he says, yea, I've loved you with an everlasting love. You know? He tells us, amen, that I've engraven you on the palms of my hand. You're not just in my hands, Harvey. You're tattooed on my hands. You've been engraven in my hands. So that means that nobody can pluck you out my hand because you are part of my hand. For them to take you out my hand would be to cut off my hand. Ain't nobody cutting off the Most High hand. That's how much he loves us, saints. Bible tells us in Romans 5 that he demonstrated his love towards us. And that while we were sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. You see, that's our message, y'all. All right? We go out as ambassadors and yeah, cool, we tell people that they're sinners. But we come back with a bad news, good news formula. Yeah, you're a sinner, but he still loves you. He loved you. He still loved you. He still loved you. How do I know he loved you? Because he died for you. He was stretched wide, huh, for you, on your behalf. That's the message of the gospel, saints. We tell them that God loved them, but that's not all, no, because it's not just good news we tell them. He said, quickly tell David, tell him what? Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over. We got to get back to the place, y'all, where we telling people, y'all going to have to move out y'all comfort zone. Lodge not this night. Don't stay in that world. Don't stay in that club. Don't stay at that trail ride. Don't you stay in sin. Don't you stay in that adulterous relationship. Lodge not this night. Speedily pass over. Cross over. Because trouble coming. Trouble coming. I don't know if y'all watch the news, Brother Elmo, but I watch the news a lot. And I see a shaking coming. Woo, you hear me, Brother Joe? I see a shaking coming in the spirit. In the spirit. It's going to touch this nation right here. A shaking is coming. And we got to get back to that message of going out and delivering to people intelligence, amen, from the Most High God, telling them, listen, lodge not. Don't you be lallygagging around in these last days playing. Don't you be out there. Lodge not. Tell David, lodge not in the plain. Why? Why tell David to get moving? Why? Look what it says. Lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. And this touched my spirit. Braylon, listen to me good. It touched my spirit. You see that word swallowed up? Huh? Huh? To be eaten, ingested. There's no bites, no. It's swallowed whole. Then I found a scripture, Isaiah 5 and 14. Therefore, hell had enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. In the last days, these last days, hell is preparing itself. It's preparing itself. It's enlarging itself. Huh? And it's not just enlarging its bowels, it's opening its mouth wide. Why should we warn them? Hey, God, lodge not this night in that trouble and in that sin. Why should we warn them, huh? Lest they be swallowed up. Because hell getting ready, saints. Hell getting ready. Listen to me good. Look. Isaiah 14, 9, this is what we got to share with them. And there's some in here playing with God. I want to share it with you tonight. 14, 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. Hell not only is enlarging itself and opening its mouth, hell wants you. It hungers after you. It desires you. It's after you like a Scooby snack. Anybody hear me up in here? Like something good, huh? And the Bible say it move itself for you, huh? The old Puritans used to preach that while we sitting in here, those of us that really don't know Christ, that's playing games, there's a portal under their foot that they can't see. There's a mount there that's wide open. I'm surprised their feet not hot right now. Or it's not under every seat. Some other seats cold as ice. Hell can't even open under them because they've been bought with a price. They've been redeemed. They're in the Lamb's Book of Life. But others in here? Oh, no. It had enlarged its mouth. It moved for thee. Could you imagine that? Huh? Everywhere you go, you're going to work and hell moving, trying to catch you. Yeah. Waiting for a car accident. Yeah. Waiting for a sickness. Yeah. Waiting for something to fall on you at work or something like that. Hell just waiting. It's praying. Huh? It's praying. It's like a crocodile or a frog just waiting for a bug to just make the wrong move. You know how they come up from the surface and just snatch them up? And that's why salvation is so important. That's why we go out with the good news. The Bible says in Jude, we able to snatch them from the mouth of hell. And they so close to going to hell that they close off the smell and the smoke. They got some in here like that. Let me tell you something good. You don't know it, but you on fire. You on fire. And I'm up here selling a fire extinguisher. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He said, tell the king. He said, tell the king, get out of that, king, lest you be swallowed up. Saints, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know? If you hear amen and you know you're not saved, hell done followed you in here, hoping that you don't pay attention. But if you listen good in here and you admit you a sinner, believe in Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior, all of a sudden that mouth that's open under you gonna close. And it's gonna have to move to somebody else. Because grace had saved you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Third point. Jonathan and Ahimaaz. Jonathan and Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz. Verse 17. Now, Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by in Ragel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Now, the priest, amen, Abiathar and Zadok had children, two sons. And the way it went, way it worked was, hey, God, they couldn't leave and go tell David because they, you know, the kingdom would have saw him. So they kind of like tried, they had to get the message to their children to go tell David. All right? And I love that. That gave me a revelation. All right? That somehow we got to tell people that they in danger. But sometimes we can't get to them. And we got to learn how to employ our children, to be able to go out and tell them. That's what I see with Jonathan and Ahimaaz, all right? Listen, at Philly, we got to reach another level of gospel sharing, all right? What level is that? Well, you invite people to church, and you share Christ with people, but let's take it to another level, all right? It's time to get your children involved as well. All right? Woo! Your children know that Bible well. They know Christ. They know the gospel. Amen. You need to start gearing their mindset up. You know, when you out there at school or you out there, go ahead and invite that classmate to church. Go ahead and invite, amen, that family that you know to church. You'd be surprised to how many families we've gotten, amen, from a child. Amen, from a child. You'd be surprised how a whole family would come to church just because one child, amen, little Clyde friend, little Clyde said, hey, man, come to church with us. Man, our pastor pretty funny. You know what I'm saying? And little Clyde invite the boy, and the boy mom and daddy said, well, we're not going to let him go without us. And now your child then brought a family to church. Woo! And the gospel be preached, huh? And that whole family come to the altar, huh? Listen, desperate times calls for desperate measures. Some people not going to hear you, and they won't listen to you. And, hey, God, you're going to have to just turn them kids loose and let your kids invite them and let your kids share the gospel, amen, And as they get older, they're going to get better with it. That's just what I see. Amen. With it was the priest's children who brought the message. Amen. They got to learn how to do it. Now, the Bible says that Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Enrago. Somebody say Enrago. Now, Enrago, this word means a fountain. All right? It means the fuller's fountain. Now, a fuller in biblical days was a person who washed clothes. Huh? But they just didn't wash clothes. Their job was to bleach the clothes, put lye in the clothes and other chemicals to make the clothes as white as possible. We see a parallel scripture when Jesus was in the Mount of Transfiguration and his face began to shine and his clothes began to shine. And the disciples described it. They say his clothes began to shine like no fuller could get them white like that to shine. And so a fuller was a bleacher, a person who would get clothes white. Amen. And so Enrago was the fuller's fountain. Oh, God. Jonathan and Ahimaaz were by the fuller's fountain. The fountain that made them white. The fountain that made them clean. The fountain that washed. Hey, God, there is a fountain. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Filled with Emmanuel's blood. Amen. And you can bring all your sins there and get them washed white as snow. That's what the old hymn writers think. Huh? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Or you wash with the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain that's flowing. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard that? Or you wash with the blood of the Lamb. Now, what's the revelation here? The revelation is that Jonathan and Ahimaaz were washed by the fountain before they shared the intelligence. What you saying, Pastor? Yeah, let your kids share the gospel. But make sure they've been washed clean too. All right. All right. I'm just going. I'm just make sure they've been to hallelujah in Ragel, in Ragel as well. Jonathan and Ahimaaz were washing in the fountain. Now, here it goes. It says that a wench told them. Somebody say a wench. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not no curse word. It's not a curse word. A wench was a very poor young lady. Not royalty. It was probably a maid of some sort. I know your grandma used to call people that when she got mad. Huh? But that wasn't the right context. It was just a little girl who was poor. That's all that was. And so what happened was that the father, Zadok and Abiathar, couldn't get to their children to give them the intelligence. So they sent a wench. They sent a little girl. Huh? And the revelation is that if you're trying to win your children and you're finding it troublesome, huh? You're going to have to begin to pray that God would send a wench to them. Amen? You're going to have to begin to pray. All right? Because to be honest with you, some of y'all kids, they knew y'all before y'all was saved. And they judging you by what you used to be instead of what you are right now. And so you can't get to them. All right? And in that case, you got to send a wench. You understand what I'm saying? You got to send somebody. And it don't have to be a man, a pastor. It don't have to be a prophet. It don't have to be the worship leader, Brian. You just say, God, send anybody. Send anybody. Send somebody they're going to receive. Send somebody that's locked up in that jail with them, daddy. Send somebody on their job. Send somebody, hey, God, at the drug rehab. God, just send somebody to my child. Don't you dare let your child go to hell without you praying, God, send somebody for my child. Somebody say, Lord, send a wench. You got to get the message to him, man. You got to get the message to him. You know? How many people got children that they waiting to come to the Lord? All right? You got to begin to govern your prayers. All right? Send somebody. I done had times, amen, where I done prayed for somebody to get saved. I'm saying, God, send anybody and send anything. I read my Bible and you done talked through donkeys. Let his dog talk to him. Let his dog open his mouth.
Hey, boy, you say?
The Bible says that the heavens declare his glory. And the earth declare his handiwork. The Bible said day after day, it uttereth speech, the Bible said. It means that creation speaks for God. And I've had times, Brandon, when I want somebody saved so bad, I not only pray, Lord, send a witch, send somebody, but talk to them through the mountains, through the trees, through the valley, through the fish, through the water, through the... Let creation testify, God. Let the sun declare that you exist. You're going to be... Look, mama, daddy, you're going to have to begin to pray. You know? Somebody say, send a winch. I don't care who you send, daddy, but send somebody for that child. Point number four, a lad saw them. I'm telling you, he just showed me mere Christianity. He just opened it up to me, Harvey. He said, man, listen, y'all get saved, y'all get righteousness, y'all get abundance. I make you a priest, I make you an ambassador, and you got to deliver this message. You got to make sure it's delivered to your children. You got to get your children ready to deliver the message as well. If you can't get to your children, you better send a winch. You better get somebody in there. You better begin to pray, amen, that God will speak to them some kind of way, but don't let your children go to hell. Right. Point number four, a lad saw them. Verse 18, so they're trying to get this message to David, and they're using, amen, the priests and the priest's sons and the little poor girl. They're using everybody. It's a complicated spy network trying to disseminate information all the way to the plains of the Jordan River. And the Bible says, nevertheless, all of this energy, a lad saw them and told who? Told Absalom, of all people. But they went both of them away quickly, and he came to a man's house in Baharim, which had a well in his court. Somebody say a well. Whether they went down. Now, a little boy saw Jonathan and Ahimaaz. A little messy little boy. And it reminded me, I was in Dalton's shop in Bro Bridge. I was cutting my hair. Dalton was cutting my hair in Bro Bridge. And me and Dalton was running it deep, talking about some deep stuff, spiritual stuff, personal stuff. We was just running it, all right? And a little boy walked in. A mama dropped, and a little boy walked in. I'm talking about, he must have been about this high. And I was going deep, man. I'm talking about, listen, we pulling out scripture. We about to cry up and that, everything. And the little boy walked in, and Dalton touched me. He tapped me. He said, no, Pastor, let's not talk. And I was shocked. I say, he's seven. He's sitting across the room way over there watching TV or something like that. He's not listening to us. I mean, I know my vocals and my voice and stuff like that. I ain't talking. He told me, he said, Pastor, but you don't know the children around here, Pastor. He said, that little boy is a messy little boy. He must have been about six or seven. I said, man, who he going to go tell? Dalton was like, no, he grown. You see? Because sometimes you could be young, but grown in foolishness, grown in maliciousness, messy and just grown in all the wrong. How many people saw some little children just grown in all the wrong way? Don't you just want to just rub them and just pray for them? Oh, God. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Yeah. Well, they ran across one of them little messy little Bro Bridge boys up and down. They got them in Lafayette, too, and wherever you're from, because they had them down here. So a lad saw them and told Absalom, huh? And to me, the little lad and Absalom, Chancellor, they represent the devil and his kingdom. Because the devil is a finite being, meaning that he can only be at one place in one time. But he got minions all over the place. And they spies. They spies. Those rogue angels are spies. They're highly organized. Hallelujah. But they come and they report back to the enemy some things. And God was showing me that after we get saved and we get the message of the gospel, that the enemy got people that's going to go back and report. Huh? Well, Catherine got saved today. Huh? Jennifer got saved today.
Imani Lynn got saved today. A lot of times what the devil do when people get saved, when he get that message from a lad, from a little boy, from a little messy little minion devil, huh? The messy little devil in the barbershop. When Satan gets that message, a lot of times what he'll do to newly saved people is turn up the heat. He'll attack them. He'll go after them. And you'll see it here in a second. He'll go after new Christians. And I done heard new Christians tell a testimony saying, listen, man, I'm coming to church and I'm serving God and it seemed like things have gotten harder. Yeah, yeah. Huh? That's that little messy little boy I'm telling y'all about. That's that little devil. All right? And that's what happens sometimes. The devil will attack you after salvation. I'm describing mere Christianity. You see, Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, listen, I'm telling you this so that when it happened, you're going to know, hey, God, what's going down. Don't think it's strange, the fiery trial that's going to try you. Amen. So we get saved, but it seemed like the bottom drop out. And it makes us want to quit. Make us want to stop coming to church and stop reading my Bible, because when I was in the club and I was high, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, because you was on his team. You understand? You was on his team. No, you didn't have all those problems. You was on his team. Satan don't cast out Satan. Hey! The reason he's fighting you so hard is because you switched teams now. You on the good guy's side. And you about to be blessed. And you're going to do his kingdom great damage. And he know you about to pull everybody who used to follow you in the world. You about to pull them out too. So what he do is try to discourage you, ruin your ministry, get you to quit, handicap you before you get your ministry. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You see, I don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's devices tonight. Don't think that now that the fire is getting hotter, hey, God, that somehow it's time to quit. No, don't quit. The little lad saw you, and they done sent reinforcements. Now, let me show you how to handle that devil. All right? Let me show you how to handle it. Nevertheless, a lad saw them, told Absalom. All right? Now, they sent in reinforcements. But they went, both of them, quickly and came to what? A man's house in Bahurim. You see, the way to handle the devil when you first get saved, the way to handle the devil when he's attacking you, when he's trying to get you to quit Christianity right before your breakthrough, because he can see your breakthrough coming, you just can't see it. Ooh! And he wants you to quit right before the breakthrough. The Bible says that when the lad saw him and reinforcement was coming, they hid in the house. They hid in the house. And this spoke to me about the house of God. You got to hide yourself. You got to hide yourself. You got to hide yourself in a house. But not just any house, the house of God. Anybody hear me up in here? So you got to do the exact opposite what the devil trying to get you to do. He's trying to turn the heat up so you can run from the house. But the house is your safe place. The house is where you're safe at. How do you know, Pastor? Well, Jesus said the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. This means that the devil can send all he has or ever had against the church of the Most High God, purchased by the blood of Jesus, and he can storm it. He can send all of his devils, and after all the smoke, after all the ashes, and after all the weapons, guess what's going to still be standing triumphant? The church of the living God. The church of the living God. He ain't ever destroyed it yet. It's still here. It's been rocking since John. It's been rocking since Peter. It's been rocking since Paul. It's been rocking since Origen. It's been rocking since Spurgeon. It's been rocking since Luther. It's been rocking since Calvin. It's been rocking since D.L. Moody. It's been rocking since Billy Graham. It's been rocking since Tony Evans. It's been rocking since John MacArthur. It's been rocking since Pastor Omar. And it's going to be rocking, rocking, rocking. rock until he returned. The church is the safe place. He tried to turn up the heat, new believer, so you could leave the house. But when they saw that the lad saw them and reinforcements was coming, they ran to the house. You got to run to the house. But it can't be just any house. He said they ran to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court. Oh, you got to come back here, come back here. You got to make sure whatever house you run to have a well in it. Yeah, they got to have a well in it. They got to have a well. You see, because some churches dry. They ain't got no well. You're going to come in thirsty and leave thirsty. But they got some churches with a well right at the altar. So that when you come on Sunday, you can draw water out the wells of salvation with joy. You can drink. Hey, God, they got to have a well in it. They got to have a well in it. You see what I'm saying? A well in it. And that's the gospel being preached. And then my old pastor used to teach me about the means of grace. Somebody say, the means of grace. Meaning that God, he set up the church as a pillar of truth. Amen. A citadel that could never be destroyed. But within the church, he put things in it that can bless us and give us grace. That's why he called it, the Puritans used to call it, the means of grace. And so the church was equipped with some things that when the people of God would partake in it, amen, they would get a boost in the spirit. Ooh, help me somebody. Ooh, I'm going to give you some. Some of them you know is the three pillars, of course. The means of grace, prayer, the word. And fellowship, like we're doing on Friday nights coming together. You think it's all about running a football? Man. We got brothers and sisters forming relationships that ain't never been formed. Huh? It's something miraculous going on. So listen to me good now. They went to a church with a well in his court. But they didn't just go to a church with a well in it. They went down in the well. There's some people you hear at Philly, and we got waters, living waters. Huh? There's a river that runs, hey, God, from the throne of God, whose streams thereof make glad. Huh? It's in here. Huh? It's in here. And the means of grace here, the word, prayer, fellowship is here. We got the other means that the Puritans used to talk about, the Lord's Supper, amen, and also baptism is another means of grace. It's all here. It's all here for you. The well is here, but you're not getting in the well. The lad saw him. They chased him in the house, but they jumped in the well. Come back here. I got a question for you. Are you in the well tonight? Are you in the well? Huh? You here, but are you in the well? Huh? Are you actually getting the word? Are you actually participating in prayer? Are you actually plugging into fellowship? Huh? You know, Bob Marley used to say this. He said, in the abundance of water, the fool is thirsty. I'm asking you, are we providing all of this living water for you? And you're sitting there lonely, thirsty, broken, the devil eating your lunch out there only because you won't come in and jump. Where? In the well. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Woo! I'm trying hard, man. Hallelujah. They jumped in the well. You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Last point. Out of the well. Pastor, I thought you just told me to jump in. Yeah, jump in, but don't stay in. Don't stay. You got a world to go out there and save. Don't just stay in the well. Jump in the well, get what you need, and get out of the well. Other people need the well too. All right? Look what the Bible says. Here it is. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Let's see. Oh man. Let's just read. Look. 19. And the woman took and spread a what? A covering over the well's mouth. When you come in church, you're getting in the well, you're participating in prayer, getting the word, fellowship, we're able to spread something over you. we're able to cover you. You know, I can't properly cover you as your pastor if you're not taking advantage of everything that we're doing here. I got to go deep for a second. Maisha, watch this. I got to go deep for a second. I pray God for y'all pretty much every morning. I say, Lord, put a hedge of protection around the flock of Philadelphia. All right? And you probably pray that sometimes too. But let me take your prayer to another level. You see, I could pray a hedge about you, but if you don't stay in the hedge, you got to let me cover you. You got to let me cover you. Huh? So sometimes I pray, Brett, I say, Lord, put a hedge of protection around them and keep them in the hedge, God. Put a chain on them, Lord. You know how them Negroes is, Lord. I'm good. All right, we got to keep going. Come on, y'all trying to keep me late, man. I told you I was supposed to let y'all out early. Listen. Verse 20, and when Absalom's servant came to the woman to the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now the woman lied. I'm not saying it's right to lie, so let's just keep going. 21. And it came to pass after that they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise, pass quickly over the water, for thus had Ahithophel counseled against you. You see, when you're part of a church and you're availing yourself to all that the church is offering, it's going to make you an effective witness to go out and spread the word. They got the word to David because they had just got out the well. You know what I'm saying? If you're not fellowshipping, if you're not praying, you're not in the word, you're not coming to Bible study, you're only here every other Sunday, you know what I'm saying? It's going not make you're not going to be as effective. All right? 22. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was gone over Jordan. All right? Now, in conclusion, here it is. They come out there, they tell David the message. And David listens to the message. David heard, danger's coming. Cross over. And so that's what David did. In this whole message tonight, you done heard about the danger coming. I pray you would be a David tonight. I pray that if you're not saved and you're in harm's way tonight, and you know if you're not saved, I'm begging you, cross over. Cross over before you get swallowed up. Listen, I just did a funeral, y'all, for a 26-year-old. Listen to me. Bad things happen to young people. Listen to me good now. Don't be coming in here with this gospel preached twice a week and bust hell wide open. They're going to be a special place in hell for you. I believe the devil going to pass you on a daily basis and say you one of the biggest fools in here. We got this man who heard it once in his life, but you heard it twice a week for 15 years. If you hear his voice tonight, harden not your heart. Be like David. David arose, he crossed Jordan, and he brought all the people with him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much, God, for the depth of your word. And we thank you that your gospel is so rich. And it comes off the pages, God. Can't help but to see it. Can't help but to hear it. Now, Daddy, I'm begging you, Daddy, that you would take my crumbs, the best that I could do, and that you would allow it to make sense. It came out my mouth one way, but before it reached their ears and their heart, you add what you need to add to it. And you take away what you need to take away. But Daddy, I'm begging you with all my heart. With all my heart, Daddy.
that there be not one in here tonight that would be swallowed up. That there would be not one in here tonight relying on their own righteousness. God, please, God, that there would not be one in here tonight struggling in lack when you've come to give us abundance. Daddy, please, is there anything else I can do, Daddy, to convince them? I know that hell is open under their feet. I could see it, Daddy. I pray that you would pierce the veil and let them feel the heat for a second. God, I'm begging you, God. If you got to smoke them into the kingdom. If you have to, God, I pray that the fire jump on their back. Just run them in, Daddy. And when they come in, we're going to extinguish them, Daddy. We pray for their souls tonight. We pray for their souls. In the mighty name of Jesus. Pray with me, saints. Say, God, I am a sinner, and I cannot get to heaven on my own. My righteousness is filthy rags. Lord, I need you. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the grave. And I believe that you're coming back. Lord, save me, a sinner, and use me for your glory. Make me a priest, an ambassador. I want to work for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory, saints. Please stand to your feet. We're going to pray this benediction. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. Peace. Peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.